Hey fabulous listeners, get ready to indulge in a night of pure glamour, laughter, and unforgettable performances at the most awaited drag show of the season, Winter Glamp. Save the date, February 4th. We're taking over Misfits Bar and Lounge at 2580 Northeast 82nd Avenue, and the doors swing open at 7 o'clock p.m. Tonight you won't want to miss. And hold on to your wigs, because we have a special treat for you. The reigning queen of camp, the phenomenal Miss Texas 1988, will be gracing the stage with her incredible presence. Trust me, you won't want to blink. Now, who's going to guide us through this night of glitz and glam? None other than the fabulous host extraordinaire, yours truly. I'm here to make sure you have the time of your life. That is by me, Coco Gem Holiday, and Autumn Rains. But that's not all. The star-studded cast features the incredible Crystal Lynn, the sensational Carrie O'Kea, the enchanting Ash Rains Mercury, the delightful Kisses Ash, the glamorous Wanda Aquaflora, and the mesmerizing Mona Chrome. It's a night of campy fun and laughter, a perfect blend of camp and comedy tailored for our fabulous audience age 21 and above. Trust me, it's going to be a riot. Secure your spot in the front row by snagging your tickets now at www.thecdsdrag.com/moment. Don't procrastinate, because this is a night you won't want to miss for the world. Winter Glamp on February 4th at Misfits Bar and Lounge, where the glitter is as boundless as the fun. Be there or be square. Episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I'm deciding to go with my Blackity Miss Black outfit. So I'm wearing my Black Lives Matter shirt, and I'm wearing a cute skirt that goes along with it, and then some leather boots, just because I want to fill my Black Panther fantasy. It's officially the first day of Black History Month, and I'm so excited because I get to be obnoxious on the internet pretty much all month long. And I have already been being that way on the internet all month long. You know, what's interesting, though, is the discussion has been coming up again about, have you been booking Black drag artists in your shows? And, of course, it's a resounding no from pretty much all drag artists around the country, unless it's like a Black-specific show. And I think that this is really fascinating. This is like a really good conversation. Because what happens is I know that people are like, well, you know, the Black folks aren't reaching out, or the Black folks aren't writing me back, or the Black folks this, or the Black folks that. And the thing is, a lot of Black artists in the city are not going to specifically like reach out for gigs. Like, you actually have to go seek them out actively to participate in your endeavors. And I think that this is really interesting, right? I think that this like conversation is so much bigger than what we make it. I have been toiling around in my head too about Blackness recently. So I want to talk about the Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj beef. And I don't really want to choose a side about the beef specifically, but what's interesting is like Megan made a diss track, you know, called Hiss. And actually, it's not a diss track. She just made a song called Hiss, where she's pretty much just attacking her haters. And of course, she throws some people under the bus. And she made a couple lines about Nicki in there, and that's cool. But what happened from there is that Nicki Minaj went crazy pants and was like, you know what? I'm going to make a song back to them. And her diss track was not the greatest. But right now, Hiss and Bigfoot are in the 1-2 spots on Apple Music, like top 100 charts. And I think that that's fantastic. Like, this is literally success for Black women everywhere. Like, this is a success for rap music in general, that these two songs have the spot. And I know that people will be like, hey, the only reason those songs are up there are because, you know, people just wanted to be involved in the drama. Who cares? Like, that means these are still getting plays. These are still getting hits. And it does suck that there were other artists at this time who were releasing music. I hear that, and I understand that. But at the same time, it's really great to see, like, the queen of rap and then Megan Thee Stallion coming up and doing these things. I personally love Megan's music. I love her flow. I've never necessarily been a huge Nicki fan, but I've loved a lot of her music. I was just never really, like, a huge rap music fan in general. I was more in the Beyoncé clutches. Like, that's, like, I've been following Beyoncé since No 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 Part One, and I've always just really enjoyed her voice and her singing talent. And with Nicki Minaj, I just thought it was always really, it was just really interesting. Like I just think it's just because I wasn't the hugest fan of rap, but I've always like really admired her style, her flair, and her tenacity. I spoke online recently about the scandal. So most people know this. There is, and I'm not going to repost this video. You can find it if you want to. There was a little white boy who apparently is on the spectrum, according to a video they re later released. That, and I said this on my Facebook. I said that little white boy talking about Nicki felt kind of racist. Honestly, he didn't eat, but sure drank the Kool-Aid. I've watched it a few times now, and my conclusion is that he felt excited to talk down to a black woman. I know a lot of folks shared the video, but it was tone deaf and diminished rap as a whole by saying she has the ability to rhyme words together in a funny way. Like, miss me with that. It takes talent to rap, or literally everyone would do it. But I guess it's okay to piss on Nicki because she got money and a darker complexion. Edit. I was also grossed out. It was also gross having a kid talk about women's bodies like that. Yikes. He made a comment about how Nicki lied about having like butt injections until her butt started deflating, and that's when she finally admitted it to us. But here's the thing, though. That's none of our business in any capacity. And I truly feel that way. And so I felt it was weird because the little kid was talking about a grown woman's behind in that way. Like, I don't really think that men should really, and actually, I don't know the kid's gender to be specific, but I don't believe it's appropriate to talk about other people's bodies just in general. I don't care that we celebrities put themselves in the like in our eyesight so we can talk about them. That's how fame exists. But I think it's really gross and uncomfortable to talk about it in that way. I really do. And so I said that as well. And I said, I think what should be celebrated is that two amazing black female rap artists just dominated the one and two. Black people winning is always a good thing, knowing how insanely hard it must be to succeed in music while being black and a woman. Now, people can be mad at me all day long because they're like, oh my gosh, what Nicki did was so low and it's gross and her fans and her husband. And I'm like, but her fans and her husbands are not her responsibility. I know that people love to believe that people have toxic fan bases, but that's not really the artist's responsibility. They can post all day long and be like, hey, don't do that. It doesn't mean that the fans are going to stop doing that. That's just not how fandoms usually work. They are still individuals. They'll show people. They still have mob mentalities. They'll do whatever they want to. Because what happened is, in Nicki Minaj's diss track, she had basically come after Megan's mom, who has passed away now. And so the Nicki fans, called Barbs, were thinking about going to the gravesite and like defacing it and stuff like that. And the thing is, I don't think anybody was really actually going to do that. I mean, they're. And yes, you can write me in the comments and prove me wrong if somebody was actually going to go out there and do that. Cool. And that's terrible. And I'm sorry if that did happen. That's really terrible. But let's get down to the real issue at hand here is that I also do think that some of this might be a little bit commercialized. I think that this beef is a little bit manufactured to have record sales and plays. I could be wrong on that, but you know, I'm a little bit of a skeptic. I'm not wearing necessarily a silver hat, a foil hat or whatever, but I'm a little skeptical about how quickly and how fast this happened. And people were really expecting a really hardcore diss track coming back from Nicki, but Nicki kind of went off the deep end a little bit when it came down to this stuff. Like, she had a really long live, she was going off on the internet, she was getting pissed at Megan, like da 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 da. Like, that's and she said she's gonna have a part two to Bigfoot. Which I think that her part two will probably be more traditional and more classic Nicki, where she has producers, have people in the booth with her, helping people like helping having people write her lines. And Nicki was even being mean to the fans during all this. And the other piece about this too, and as a black person, I can tell you this right now, I think it's really disgusting when people blame black women for the men that they date. I know that you should hold black women accountable, like if their man does something really terrible and you don't hold them to you don't hold them accountable for it. But this is the one thing that people don't really say on the internet. So Nicki's man is no, is a sexual, a registered sex offender, right? But people haven't said on the internet what that offense was. So I decided to go do some research. I found out, and trigger warning, when he was either, I think he was 15 at the time, he had raped a 16-year-old girl. So somebody older than him. Rape is still terrible. It's still awful, no matter if you were juvenile or not. And that's what the offense was. And so people were like, oh, he can't be near schools and da 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 da. I was like, you can become a registered sex offender. I literally, I was sitting in the courtroom once for somebody who was peeing outside of their work while smoking a cigarette, and they were in the courthouse for that act. Like, that's how ridiculous this is sometimes. So I really want us to just be cognizant about when we're talking about issues, like painting somebody as, for lack of a better term, a pedophile, is not necessarily the in the same vein. And I know that the jokes are actually, because like when you become a registered sex offender, you can't be near a school, you can't do X, you can't do Y, you can't do Z. So the jokes are still valid because you can't do those things, but it just felt like low blows in that capacity as well. Now, the funny thing is, for me, and people didn't say this on the internet, but this man was convicted of manslaughter. Nikki's husband was convicted of manslaughter. And that just hasn't come up. Like, it's like, oh, he's a sex registered sex offender, so boo, he like apparently does stuff with children. But he also was convicted of murder. Like, so that just, I don't know, if you were going to attack something, just that feels like the thing that I would have attacked. I know that this is a weird subject to even have, but that's how I feel about it. And so going back to the issue at hand, like, yes, Nikki married a person, but you also have to remember, Nikki did go to high school with this person. We don't know how much she knew about their past. They've known each other pretty much their whole lives, actually, which is just interesting to think about. And so it's just been this, I guess, on again, off again love story for a very, very, very long time. And the thing is, I guess if you are a true Barb, you would probably think about it this way. If this person had sexually assaulted somebody as an adult, or after high school or something like that, I bet you anything that Nikki probably wouldn't have been with this person. Like, I think that when I think about teenagers and children in this capacity who do certain things wrong and they grow up and they grow out of these acts and habits, that this might be why she ended up with this person. And so I think that the act is incredibly serious, but I also give grace in the fact that Nikki didn't get with this person until much later in life. And so I guess that's the only thing I can really say about that. Obviously, I think that rape and sexual assault are completely disgusting and horrible acts, and nobody should ever do that. So it really doesn't matter what age you are, it's still horrible. And with this, Nikki made her decision, and she does have to live with the consequences of people knowing that about her life, because that's what it means to be in the public eye. However, I do always believe that you cannot blame the spouse for something that happened before the person even got with them. Like, being like it seems like it was just another way for people to attack Nikki, is how it felt to me. And a lot of white people were doing it too, and it felt really racist to me. It felt like we are going to do everything in our power to keep this person down. When you look at like white country singers, like some of the shit that they have done, and like people will just like let it go because, they get to play in that market. But then when it comes to black women, they are held at such a high standards, from their fans to the way they do interviews to, sorry, the way their fans act to the interviews to the way they dress, their hair, their makeup, da 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 da. Like, that's why even like Lizzo's fall from grace, even though it is starting to look like they are not going to be able to actually get her on any of the things that were against her, it really hurt her career. Right, it hurt her career because like one of the things that came out was like something was antibody positive in some of the complaints that came out. And so what's really sucky about that is like her career has taken a dive because they're like, well, that's your brand, right? And so it just, I want to celebrate everybody black, especially at the start of Black History Month. I do think that the actual beef happening between Megan Thee Stallion and Nikki is childish at best with a lot of low blows, but I can celebrate the fact that they have like record sales and high numbers. I can also recognize that they both had to compete in this market to be these types of people and like work their way forward. So that was a lot, listeners. Let me know how you're feeling about it. Let me know in the comments.
Tune in, fabulous listeners. We've got a sizzling announcement for all you drag aficionados and karaoke connoisseurs. Join us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. for an unforgettable night of glamour and entertainment at Misfits Bar and Lounge, located at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. Hosted by the mesmerizing Autumn Rains and captivating Coco Gem Holiday, this drag queen karaoke show will have you singing, dancing, and living your best life. Let loose and showcase your vocal prowess alongside these extraordinary queens as they create an atmosphere bursting with energy, laughter, and pure fabulousness. Mark your calendars and gather your squad for a Wednesday night that promises to be nothing short of spectacular. Whether you're a seasoned performer or a first-time diva, Misfits Bar and Lounge is a place to be for an unforgettable evening of entertainment, empowerment, and endless fun. Don't miss out on the fabulous extravaganza. Join us this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and let your inner star shine at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Portland's newest queer plus space.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into what they tell you podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, listeners. So in this next half of the segment, I want to talk about losing friendships. So I've lost a number of friends over the last year, some from mistakes that I've made, but some just because I've grown apart from people. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit more specifically. I had written online about wanting to be a little bit more selfish this year, and I know that that's going to sound counterproductive to what people think, or it's probably going to be in line with what people think about me already, maybe thinking that I'm selfish or not. I'm not quite sure. What other people think about me is none of my business, but what I can do is make sure that I operate at a certain level with myself to make sure that I can still like breathe at the end of the day for some of the actions I've had. I've always been really... I've always given a lot, in my opinion, to people in need. I let them stay in my house. I give people money. I buy them things. I help them out as much as possible. And I think that that's great. And I've always just really prided myself on those things. But it has now started to kind of come back and bite me in the ass. I said online, a lot of my friendships I've lost over the last year taught me a lot about myself and the connections I've made. And I think the one thing I can confidently say is people have to help themselves through their toxic relationships, and no matter what you say to them or how you try to help them or what you do for them, it means nothing when they're trapped in abuse. Finally, and it's time for me to say this, I have had it up to the roof with people taking advantage of my finances. I talked to my mom yesterday, and it was a very cold and rude awakening in a way that only a mother could do when the subject of money was presented. Moving forward in every aspect of life, personal, professional, and drag, people are not going to have access to the handouts I've so freely given, because when those relationships end, I kind of feel rather dejected, rejected, and abused myself. Lastly, people need to stop thinking that just because I have a day job, that this money is endless. One of the ways I can do drag is because it pays for itself, and some nice-to-haves for John. When my boy money has to feed into drag, it makes me resent it a bit. I've made a lot of big swings of the last year, and I was glad to do it. But at this point, I've been taken advantage of, and I'm over it. I'm really about to fall in love with the word no for the foreseeable future and protect what's mine, because other folks are getting too comfy taking money from this holiday or taking advantage of the kindness that's been offered. If there's some way I can help you, I will for sure do it. It will just no longer include opening up my home or my wallet. And the reason I bring this up, I had a friend that I was friends with for about 13 years, and they moved out of the state. And they told me like a couple of weeks before they moved, so then I had to pay that rent, and that's fine because they were, you know, living in my house and they weren't on the lease, so I had no way of getting them to pay. And then I said, well, make sure you pay your utilities before you leave. I also said... they also had like a bunch of clothes on my couch, and I had said, hey, I was like, do you want me to take those to like Goodwill for you, or what do you want me to do with them? And they said, I'll take care of it. And they just kept saying, I'll take care of it. That's all they ever said, is I'll take care of it. They were always so secretive about things in their life, and it was so weird. And I said, okay. So then it was like a day before, and they're like, hey, you said you were going to take those clothes to Goodwill for me. And I said, well, no, you told me that you would take care of it. And he's like, oh, well, I don't have time to do that. So can you take them to Goodwill for me? And I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. That's fine. And then what happened is like when they moved out, I said, like I texted them like probably a couple days later, and I said, hey, like I never got the utilities from you. And they said, well, thank you for checking on our trip that we made it safely. And I was like, well, I like I know you made it safely because I saw you online, but also you still owe me for these utilities. And then they said the thing that is terrible and heartbreaking in a lot of different ways. And some of you would be like, I think that that's fair. But here's the thing. This person had been living in my house for a while now, paying their utilities, living there with their partner, who I also allowed to move in. And they said, well, I want you to give me a breakdown of what my portion is, and I want you to send me all of the utilities, and then I'll decide to pay it. And I said, don't do this. Don't do this. And they're like, what? I think that's a fair ask. I was like, you owe me $186 for the utilities. That is that's your portion. It's a big house. It's really expensive. And I said, so I just please pay it. Don't, like, this will really hurt our friendship if you don't pay it. And they said, no, I'm not going to pay anything until you send me all of that stuff, which was just a way for them not to pay me. And I don't even give a care. I don't give a crap what they say in return or retaliation to that. I think it's really messed up to have a person I've been friends with for over 13 years to live in my house in this capacity and then finally decide on the last day that they didn't want to pay their utilities after they moved out, even though they had used an entire month of those utilities or close to a month of those utilities without paying. And yeah, people are like, well, why didn't you just provide it? I think that's a fair ask. Be like, because I know that the only reason that they were doing it, and this isn't even a pride thing, like the only reason that they were doing it is because they didn't have the money to pay it. And I pretty much said, I was like, don't talk to me again until you pay me the utilities that you owe me. Because I think that's fair. Like, I'm so sick and tired. Like, this person missed rent a couple of times, and I had asked them for one thing when they moved in. I said, can you please just cut the grass, and I'll let you live there for a month for free. And then it's 2 months in, no cut grass. It's hitting almost to the third month, and then the grass is finally cut. And, like, I was just like, this is just getting to be so toxic in a lot of different ways. And I would drive them places. I would buy a lot of their drinks. I would invite them to parties. Like, we would do X, Y, and Z together. And, like, I got to have them hang out with some headliners and, like, do all this stuff. And I just feel spat on. Like, I feel like I got taken advantage of. Like, I let them move back into my house for free when they moved back from out of state. And that just kind of blew up in my face too. Then in the other scenario, I'm recently, like, no longer friends with another friend of mine currently, and hopefully this person comes back into my life someday. But the reality is what happened at that is that they would come to my house every time that their partner was being abusive. I gave them a code to my house, so they would just show up randomly. Sometimes they showed up with their kid. And when we were having our, like, that last fight, right, they're like, you've never done anything for me. And I said, I literally let you stay in my house whenever you need it. And they're like, well, thank you for that. And I was like, do people just think that, like, the utilities and, like, my house and, like, people will drink me out of house and home, and I give them safe spaces and I give them this opportunity to be away from toxic situations or even let them move in with me so they can get out of state? Like, and then when it gets to this point in the friendship, like, all of that just goes completely out of the window. Like, and that always really hurts my feelings, because I've always really been appreciative of the fact when somebody gives me shelter or gives me a home. I've always been really appreciative of the fact and try to be as respectful as humanly possible when someone gives me shelter, when somebody gives me refuge. I have definitely been feeling like I've been taken advantage of in a lot of different ways, especially when it comes to my finances. Like, I have people who make me feel guilty when I, you know, buy certain things for myself. I have people who make it seem like I don't deserve some of the things that I've gotten. Like, even in my marriage, like, one thing that has been really balanced between me and Adam is that even though I make more money, like, I never feel like he quite takes advantage of me. Like, he pitches in when he can, and he participates and buys things as necessary for our household, and it really makes me feel loved and appreciated. One thing I also never charge any person that I live with is I also have a housekeeper for my house because I do drag and I just don't have enough time to clean. So twice a month I have a housekeeper coming out who cleans the entire house in both bathrooms, and she does laundry as well. And, like, so, and you don't have to do dishes because we have somebody who comes out and does the dishes and wipes down the floors and cleans the oven and, like, all these other things. And it's really hurtful that these friendships I had didn't really appreciate any of that. And even if they did appreciate it, they didn't say thank you enough. And I'm not even saying that they needed to, like, me doing these things for other people, I didn't expect anything in return. I was helping out people who were in need. But when we got to the end of those friendships and then they're being abusive with my money, because I call it abusive. If you owe me money, you don't pay me, and then you fight with me about the money that you owe me, I consider that to be abusive. Or when you're like, hey, you didn't do anything for me. I'm like, I gave you a home. And I just think that I feel really gross inside. And these people might feel a lot of different other ways about me for things that I did that maybe have hurt them. And I can respect that and even understand that. But I will never, ever, ever be able to forgive when somebody abuses my finances, abuses my home, or makes me feel like I am less than in any capacity. I love my friends, and I have lost a lot of friends because maybe I'm hard to be friends with, and that's fine. But the friends that have stuck around have really stuck by me and have made me feel loved and appreciated. And the things is, I've even had, just recently, I just had a friend of mine who I was getting really close with lie on me save their relationship. And I thought that that was really toxic in a way that was really hurtful as well, because it caused contention between me and this other person. And I was like, wow. I was like, I don't know what I did to people to make it feel like, I don't even feel like it's like a doormat syndrome as much as I feel like it's, hey, like, aren't we friends? Because I'm not being treated like that. I get treated like a bank, like a property manager, and I get treated like a scapegoat. Like, that's not cool. And so I've always struggled with friendships in my life. I know that I'm hard to get along with. I know that like my mood swings can be sometimes pretty abrasive. I do live with depression, and that's not an excuse. I don't try to be rude or mean or unkind, but I sometimes will just make a decision, and I know in a heartbeat. Like one of the friendships I lost recently, I had posted a picture with their ex-partner, and that friend felt incredibly betrayed, and they had every right to feel betrayed. They did talk to me about it, but they ended our friendship, and that's fine. That, you know, I had a feeling that when I posted the picture that it might lead to this outcome. Not saying I was, I just thought that there enough time had passed when these two people had actually dated, that it would be okay, but it wasn't, and I lost a friend, and that one hurts. But I also have to be respectful of people's choices. Like, I can't necessarily change how people think about me. And then I also know that I have lost friends from people who were building up resentment towards me, but weren't talking to me about it. And then, like, when we had a small fight or a tiny fight or whatever like that, they just took that as a chance to end it. So that's just how I am in this realm. And so I've been really guarded and protected. I'm a 37-year-old person about to be 38 years old, and I'm still struggling with friendships. I'm happy and thankful and lucky for my partner. I'm happy and thankful and lucky for some of my best friends. You know, they keep me safe. They keep me grounded. And I do fight pretty hard to keep the friendships that I do have. And hopefully with some of these friendships, they'll be repaired, but I know some of them never will be. But maybe this is one of those things where friends come into your life for a season. Maybe this is one of those things of where these friendships were not meant to be lifelong, and that's okay. I've come out on the other side, recognizing what's important to me, recognizing the friendships I want to have, and recognizing who I want to be. And I think that that's important. So, yeah. Hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that wasn't too much of a ramble. And remember, everybody, take care of each other, love hard and appreciate hard. Guard yourself and guard your heart as you need to. But remember that the best love comes from making yourself vulnerable to other people. And I do know that also comes with the greatest hurt. Yeah. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.